Hello, everybody. Welcome to Geek Tyrant Weekly Podcast number 61. I am Ben P. We haven't done that in a long time. We haven't introduced each other. Let's do that. Let's go around the circle. Everybody say who you are.
Around the circle, guys.
Yeah.
We're holding hands. This is awesome.
This is Dr. Vankman.
This is Bob Meek.
This is Mazer.
This is Abe Froman.
All right. So, awesome.
That's a very...
excessive introduction. Yeah. Today
excited for the podcast today.
Yeah, totally. It's been a couple weeks or something.
We had Sundance. Yep. So we didn't do it that weekend while we were gone.
Then yep. Mazer got married.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Ow!
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. All right. So today we're going to go through the box office numbers for a little bit. We're going to talk about Planet Hulk, Edge of Darkness, From Paris with Love, and whatever else we feel like talking about. So let's get straight to it. Somebody want to take the box office numbers? You want to go through that real quick?
Yeah, let's do it. Why don't we just break the ice here by saying that Dear John was the movie to beat out Avatar. In the last 8 weeks.
All the movies.
We'll go down in history.
Oh, man.
I didn't see that coming. I really didn't. I did not think...
It just seems like there's so many movies that are so close to what Dear John is that, like, I didn't
exactly,
think there would be this
right?
massive outpouring of, yeah. of people seeing it. But
the trailer had Snow Patrol, okay? And it was very emotional. No, I don't care.
That sucker me.
Now, Dear John made... $30.4 million. But let's just say this. This was opening weekend for it.
Yeah.
Is there a possibility that now...
That it's going to overtake Avatar? Absolutely. I think there's a definite possibility of that.
No, that next week, Avatar will retake its spot.
I think Avatar will retake.
We got Valentine's Day and the Wolfman.
Yeah.
But I think Valentine's Day may
and then the weekend,
outdo the Wolfman.
The weekend
as
after
well.
That is Shutter Island, so it's
yeah.
in danger. I think Avatar is in danger of being.
Do,
able
we,
to
do we have any of those
that.
Shitty comedies or romances coming out? No,
no, I've been out of the loop. Has Avatar broken the domestic
yes, it
record?
Yes, yes.
So
yep.
it's record.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
it's record.
Top
except
record.
But
top
not
record
for based on inflation, obviously.
Right.
Record.
All right, okay. So Avatar, number two, with $22.8 million, holding strong still. It's a really impressive showing, considering how long it's been out in the theaters. And it's going to be there for a little while longer, so.
Yep.
From Paris with Love, number three, with a paltry $8.1 million in comparison to the top two. I saw this, so we'll be talking about it a little bit. Spoiler alert, it's not good.
I guess a lot of people were walking out of drive-in movies, huh?
Well, yeah. For me, I didn't really see too much. I feel like I had already seen Shaved Head.
Travolta, yeah.
Travolta, kind of in
very
one,
recently.
Yeah,
it looked like it'd be a fun movie, though. Like, I wanted to see it.
I thought the same
you
thing.
You know, when
I
it has the guy that directed Taken did it.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, so you know there's going to be, like, some good amount of action. And in the trailer, it shows a good amount of action.
Yeah.
In the long run, the action isn't what carries the story.
Right.
The story is what carries the story.
Yes, brilliant. That's going to be the catchphrase of our podcast. The story is what carries the story.
Just to see the gap that between Avatar and Dear John is pretty much the amount of money that From Paris with Love made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Which is like...
Oh, wow. Okay. Moving on. Number four, Edge of Darkness, $6.8 million.
Yeah, I saw that this weekend.
All right.
We'll talk about it. Babe.
Touch on that, too.
Yeah, okay.
Number five, we've got The Tooth Fairy, which is surprising to me that that's even still in theaters. $6.6 million. When in Rome, I love Kristen Bell, by the way, but nothing in this world could get me to see When in Rome in a theater. And that was at $5.5 million.
It obviously didn't get a lot of other people into the theater
yeah.
seats either.
Yeah. Book of Eli coming in at number seven with $4.7 million. Crazy Heart, number eight, which is surprising to me, $3.5. I mean, that's kind of a lower profile movie. I know
it's only in 819 theaters compared to the 2,000, 3,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so
it
that's
just,
a huge difference
it looks
in
like
theater
it just
numbers.
Opened wider, just added 580.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see it. I haven't seen it yet. But
yeah,
I'm,
me neither. I'm definitely interested.
Interesting.
Especially since Bridges has been getting all this Oscar buzz.
Exactly.
Right. Crazy interested in it.
Yep. And then we've got Legion at number 9 with $3.4 million, and Sherlock Holmes rounding out the top 10.
Sherlock Holmes is hanging in the top 10.
$2.5 million, yeah.
I don't know why, but I still kind of want to see Legion.
Just for reference,
it's,
we never,
it's going to be terrible.
Just for reference, we never really do this, but we do get our box office numbers from boxofficemojo.com, mm-hmm. So we do want to throw a shout out to them.
Yeah.
Because we never say who we get them from.
Throw some shouts outs.
Yeah. So we're just saying, there it is. Yeah. Throwing that out there.
Keep on doing the good work.
Actually, Abe is manually tabulating. He's calling people and he's making an estimate.
Calls well, every AMC. Theater. Every theater in the country.
How much you got for this one? Yeah. Let me write that down. No,
50.
No, I do not have a pen.
All right. So you want to talk about Edge of Darkness?
Mr. Craven, we have things to talk about.
Like your name and what you're doing here.
Like who shot your daughter.
I want to know what my daughter did here.
What she did was classified.
Emma Charlotte Craven was flagged as a possible threat to the United States of America.
My daughter was not the type.
I know everybody talks about power, but they don't really understand.
Cases like these are never solved. You just never can connect A to B.
How do you know that?
Because I'm usually the guy that stops you connecting A to B.
You're gonna follow me to the city of Boston. Welcome to hell.
What does it feel like?
Well, you had better decide whether you're hanging on the cross or banging in the nails.
Yeah. I'll quickly run through Edge of Darkness real quick. I saw this movie this weekend. It was the first non-Sundance film that I've seen.
Yes.
Not in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. How was that going from the Sundance experience back into a normal theater?
It was weird. It really was a different experience going into a...
You're just regular... numb after a while.
Yeah, so you just want to take a break from movies after going to Sundance.
Just push to the edge of darkness.
Your mind literally... Your mind melts at Sundance. And so, you know, when you go into, like, mainstream movies again, it's just a different feel. Because, you know, you recognize people up on screen.
I think just previews in general. You know, just the previews before a movie, you're like, okay, I'm kind of excited about little things. Or you can kind of just yell stuff at the screen and it's okay. You can't do that at Sundance. You have to yell on stuff at the
frowned
screen.
Frowned upon.
Very much frowned upon in press screenings. You yell at the screen.
But it's okay to walk out of movies.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
So...
All right, so how was the movie? Did it hold up? What did you think?
I was really looking forward to seeing Edge of Darkness. It's one of the film came out while I was at Sundance. It's one that I wanted to see, so I'm glad I went and saw it. It was nice to see Mel Gibson back up on the big screen.
Mm-hmm. Seven-year break or something like
that? Yeah. The guy can act.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. The guy's talented, acting, directing, writing, whatever.
Yeah.
And it was cool to see him back on screen because he really gave a great performance in the movie. Movie itself is jumbled up with a bunch of different little things here and there with, poisonings, nuclear weapons.
Wow, so it gets into some pretty serious territory.
All this stuff kind of happening under our noses here in the United States. Mm-hmm. So Mel Gibson's daughter dies in the movie. You've all seen this in the trailer.
Right.
No spoiler alert. You hear, Craven! And then And then... she dies. And then he goes out to find who killed her to get revenge. Now, unlike Taken, this movie isn't as action-packed. It's more of a slow burn type movie where he's going around doing more investigation work than he is kicking ass.
Right.
He does kick ass, but only...
for a certain part of the movie. It's not like the whole last hour is him just dominating.
Okay.
He's not going to the store and then all of a sudden fight breaks out.
Right. Yes. So, all in all, it was a good movie. It was a solid story. The biggest thing for me that killed it was the ending. It was just such a cliche, sappy, typical Hollywood ending that... after I saw it, and it was like the last 15 seconds of this movie just ruined it for me. And the movie was fine up until that point, but then at the end you're just like, well, that just That's stupid. I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but I was disappointed by how it ended.
Yeah.
But all in all, I did enjoy the movie, but you don't have to see it in theaters. This is one you can go to the, rent off Netflix or whatever when it comes out. You can wait.
You can go to the Netflix.
You can go to the Netflix store.
Martin Campbell directed this, right? It was Mark Campbell, the guy who's doing Green Lantern. Is that right? He direct this?
I think he did.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah. But he did so much great work with like Casino Royale and GoldenEye.
But this one just kind of...
I'm talking with food in my mouth.
Unfortunately, I mean, it was, like I said, it was good, but it was just building up to what happened at the end was just kind of a letdown, I think.
Yeah. All right, well, that's good to know that, hopefully people won't necessarily waste their money in theaters, but we'll give it a deserving rental once it comes out.
Well, I thought just with Mel Gibson, him waiting so long to take on another movie role, I thought it'd be a whole lot different than the stuff he's already done, because there's so many different parts of the story, or the concept of the story, that are familiar to the films he's already done.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, had like Taken not come out, mm-hmm. had revenge flicks not been like an in thing right now, this movie probably would have stuck out a lot better, mm-hmm. I think. But since it's one of those things where it's like, oh, the guy's daughter dies, he's gonna go on a rampage and get revenge for the death of his daughter.
Very by the numbers,
type of thing. So it's a smart movie, it's a good movie, and you should definitely check it out when it comes out on DVD.
Cool. I think Planet Hulk was another thing that we were going to try to find out.
Yeah, Planet Hulk.
Through the ancient prophets, you have promised us a warrior savior.
You need to save your strength for the games.
Games.
We are en route to the Colosseum, where our deaths are scheduled for today's entertainment.
A warrior who looks into the eyes of death and stands his ground.
All my life, I've moved from one fight to the next. Now I don't know what to do.
If you won't fight for us, at least fight for yourself.
A warrior with boundless strength, whose power knows no end.
This is impossible.
And this warrior shall strike down all evil. Unite all kingdoms.
Hear that? They think you're the savior of this planet.
They're wrong.
I have not had a chance to see this, but...
I got back from my honeymoon, so I'm going to buy this pretty much after this podcast to go watch it.
Nice.
This is Marvel Animation's 5th or 6th animated movie.
Just awesomeness.
Yeah. All right, this is...
Numbers don't matter.
Abe Froman and I had a chance to go see Planet Hulk, and wrote up a little review on it. Great movie.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it. For a straight-to-DVD animated movie, if you know what these guys have to work with, I think you'd appreciate more what it took. You'd appreciate the movies more because of what it took to get the movie made.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They have very strict budgets. They have to chop down scripts and chop down story and to make everything fit into this world.
Yeah.
They have issues with characters that other studios own, that they're not allowed to use some of these characters, so they have to improvise with that and be creative about how they're going to tackle, replacing characters and mm-hmm. doing things like that.
They got to do it in a way that's interesting for the fans, and that
exactly
because they could easily just tick off a bunch of fans and just nix a part of the story, without replacing that character with someone more interesting,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to someone who's just kind of like.
These movies going direct to DVD especially, I mean, that's the fans are who these people are making these movies
exactly.
for.
Exactly. This
so
is
like,
for the people that know, that have read the comic, that are fans of it.
That seek out these properties in this kind of presentation. So,
and Planet Hulk is by far Marvel Animation's best movie so far.
Cool.
It was awesome.
I just think one of the best things about Planet Hulk is like when you watch a Saturday morning cartoon, they tend to hold back for the kids.
Exactly.
And Planet Hulk, the imagery in this and the action in this is so no holds bar.
No,
and
it's so awesome.
Jaw-dropping.
Yeah.
Some of the imagery they show.
Yeah, seriously, you're watching this and you're seeing this these fight scenes and this violence just taking place on screen. This is stuff that Americans aren't used to seeing. I mean, this is stuff that you see in like you know, Japan on, in mm-hmm. the anime films and stuff like that. So it's cool that they're actually able to, you know, put this stuff in there and please fans, not only with a great story, but with awesome animation that's violent as hell.
Right.
Yeah. And well, the story just period just for Hulk fans. It's a much different way. If you read the comic, you know it's a much different a path for the Hulk, who's usually, you know, just kind of grumbling and does really nonsensical. This is a Hulk that thinks and
exactly.
acts very. He's very smart.
Yep.
But he can still kick ass. So.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Still got
okay.
The strength.
So I don't. I'm unfamiliar with the comic book Planet Hulk. This is all based on. So. In the trailer, you see a bit of stuff. Hulk has been booted from Earth,
yeah,
to another planet.
The Avengers pretty much got together. The Marvel superhero universe got together. It's like, hey, you're causing too much damage here. We can't control you. You obviously can't control yourself. So we've locked you in the spaceship, and we've sent you out into space, and we're sending you to a planet where you can't hurt anybody anymore.
Yeah.
So
harsh.
I know, right?
Do they explain how he's able to reason? And
yeah, they do. They do explain that.
Okay.
In both the movie and the comic.
Because to me, it looks like we've got like Hulk and Conan the Barbarian meets. Is that kind of basically?
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah. Just a little note: the guy who does the voice of Hulk is the same guy who does the voice of AMC.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. So a lot of people are saying it's like, now I can't get that out of my head. I just, whenever I hear the AMC guy, it's like I hear the Hulk.
But not the other way around.
This was actually the first voiceover work he's done for a film.
Yeah.
He's never done anything like this. He's usually just done it for, you know, TV voiceovers and stuff like that. So, you know, Hulk was his introduction to film voiceover.
This week on Mad Men.
So
Don Draper.
I know that you have a bunch of different teams. Who are the team that worked on Planet Hulk? Was
Planet Hulk was worked on by the same team that did most of the Marvel films. Doctor Strange, which is one of my other favorite.
I saw Doctor Strange. That one was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that.
And they also did Hulk versus. That was the one. Hulk versus Wolverine.
Hulk versus Thor.
Which, if you haven't seen that, you got it, because that's pretty freaking awesome too.
Yeah.
And then there is and then Iron Man, the Invincible Iron Man. Yeah, the movie was written by Greg Johnson. The supervising director for the film was Frank Parr, and it was directed by Sam Liu.
It's kind of weird to talk. I don't know if people understand how animation works sometimes. When you, especially in any type of animation, you have a supervising director, and then you have many directors
of certain scenes.
Yeah,
scenes.
There's like more than one director.
It's so complex that you can't have someone conceive.
So you have
in the details
someone overlooking that.
It's kind of just like in movies, an executive producer is kind of someone just kind of funding something, or kind of a consultant. Whereas in television, an executive producer is really like the showrunner.
Right.
So. Yeah.
Or perhaps a better analogy would be like a second unit director or something, who like somebody who shoots the action or something in a real movie, while the, or a live action movie rather. It's not to say that an animated movie isn't a real movie.
Yes, you did.
But yeah, so would you guys recommend it? I mean, it sounds like you enjoyed it.
I definitely
recommend
it. I mean, the movie is action packed from beginning to end. I mean, they're gladiator fights. I mean, this is Hulk in a gladiator stadium fighting monsters with other, you know, with other gladiators. And the whole thing is if you know, they keep winning, then the villain or the Red King will let them go.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
Of course.
If you've ever
heard of this team before,
if anyone has ever been involved in some kind of gladiator combat, you know what we're talking about. Yeah. King talks, I'm going to let you go.
It's a pretty common thing these
it's
days.
It's common.
Gladiatorial battles.
Gladiator scam. If you've seen, you know, the movie Gladiator, if you've seen
if you watch the Olympics.
If you win gold medal, I will let you free from this acrobatic camp.
More a modernized take in American Gladiators. But.
Yes.
It's a great film. It's really exciting. It's you know, the pacing's great. It's just full of action. And the story's actually really good. And this is different from anything we've ever seen the Hulk in before.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that they would grab this graphic novel and pull it over. Really different.
That's the thing. It's like, this is like, out of both live-action Hulk films, this is probably the most entertaining I've seen.
Okay, cool. I wanted to talk about From Paris with Love briefly.
Yeah.
I'm a man short, Reese. I need your help.
Sir, you do realize that I am not special ops certified.
We've got you working with our top operative, Charlie Wax. Besides, it's mostly driving Wax around.
Move closer! Closer!
Nail this job and consider yourself a member of the club.
Did you save the world today?
If only you knew, Caroline.
I saw this movie last week. I actually won a free ticket to see it from Lionsgate's Twitter account.
Very cool.
It's just a random contest that I happened to enter, and they didn't even know that I write for the site or anything. It was just like a random
thing. At that point,
thing.
They don't even check.
No, yeah. They don't. They don't care. But
they just want you to talk about it.
Yeah,
on
yeah,
a podcast.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they're probably not going to like what I have to say about it. Because, all right, listen, these movies, like, I am a notorious fan of these kinds of movies. These kinds of, like, threadbare plot, ridiculous action movies. Like, Pierre Morel especially did Taken, as we've talked about, and he did District B-13, which is, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but it's like the parkour movie from a few years ago that stars David Bell, who's the guy who actually created parkour. And if you don't know what parkour is, first of all, Wikipedia and look up some YouTube videos of dudes doing this stuff because it's amazing. And second of all, you really should know what parkour is. But but From Paris with Love is the newest film directed by Pierre Morel. It stars John Travolta in a role that, like we've said, we've seen him in before. It also stars Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Well, I don't know. Recently, I saw a trailer a commercial where he's as cool as he is from Pulp Fiction, and then they bring in the Royale with cheese line.
Yes. Oh, wow. You don't understand how awful that was.
Like, they use the Royale with cheese line.
Yes.
Yeah,
they okay.
The
they're
line.
Sitting
in the
there.
Trailer?
That you can, yeah, you can see it in a TV spot. They're,
son
of
a bitch.
They're sitting there, and they're it takes place in
Quentin Tarantino's rolling in his grave.
Oh, he in his live grave. Yes. Yeah, he is furious.
Rolling
in
bed right now.
It's so bad. The writing in this movie is absolutely atrocious. And like I said, like, you know, there's a contract with these kind of movies that the directors have an unspoken agreement with the audience that you're not going there for the writing. Like,
no.
You're going
yeah.
for the action. Morel did not deliver on that front. Like, it was boring. Like, it's not... That's rule number one of these
Wait,
kinds
so they
of
didn't
movies.
Even try to make it so ridiculously over top, but have ridiculous plot holes?
it was ridiculously over the top, and it was ridiculous plot holes, but it wasn't fun. Like, that's why Taken was so awesome. Like, and I'm not gonna lie, when I watched Taken, I was like, what is this crap? Because it took 30 or 35 minutes for something to actually happen. Like, I think it took 30 minutes or something for the girl to get kidnapped. Like,
yeah,
and that's, you know, scene number one in the trailer. So I'm like, what is going on? But, you know, in retrospect, they're using it to kind of build up the character relationships. So it actually makes sense that Liam Neeson's character would go to these outrageous lengths to get his daughter back. In this movie, it takes 30, 35 minutes for anything to really happen. And then... once stuff does start happening, you're like, I just don't even care. Like, while Taken spent that first half an hour character building, this movie just spends it kind of wandering aimlessly from character to character enough time making us care about what they're going
to
do.
Sounds like
next.
They're trying to make things cool without any actual substance.
Yeah, there's so many stupid, like, cliche things that happen in it. Like, at one point, and that's a ridiculously minor spoiler, so, all right, first of all, if you're don't see From Paris with Love. It's just that simple. That's my recommendation. I mean, just don't. Like, you'll save yourself some time and heartache, and it's just not that entertaining. So, okay, really minor spoiler. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers plays a CIA, low-level CIA agent.
Is that Elvis in this movie?
not in this one. And Travolta is, like, this, you know, typical loose cannon badass. Like, somehow he's really respected among the agency, even though he does nothing but create carnage and mayhem. Like, you know, I don't know if you... I've worked for many companies, and nobody likes it when you break stuff and cost the company money. So I don't know how the CIA works, but apparently he's, like, highly lauded within the agency. So,
This is during the previous administration?
Even James Bond got crap for destroying
Yeah, this. Exactly. Yeah, Charlie Wax, who is Travolta's character, gets not even a slap on the wrist. But anyway, okay. So he pulls Jonathan Rhys-Meyers' character out of a bad situation, and by the way, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers plays a guy named James Reese, which is ridiculous in and of itself. So Reese, he has left a bunch of his files and stuff in his Suburban outside, and Wax has got him in the car, and they're speeding away from the building, and he's like, oh, no, wait, I have to go back and get my stuff. And Travolta's like, are you serious? Like, you don't think that they know that that's your car? Like, they've been watching you, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. So he's like, no, I really need my stuff, like, blah, blah, blah. So it's parked along the side of the road, and there's a bunch of different cars stacked up right in front of it.
I think I've seen this in a trailer.
Yeah, I think it shows it. And Travolta's like, you know what, do you need it this much? Or says some stupid one-liner that's not clever or funny, and backs into the first car in the pile, and it does this domino chain reaction where the final car hits Reese's car, and it just blows up, and it's like... It's like, I don't know. It's just that's the kind of action that you see in this movie.
If where he
it's
had like, gone in and closed the door on his car, it would have blew up.
Yeah, it's like, it's uninspired. It's not like, oh, there's no sense of awe. There's no like, oh, that was a really cool action scene. Or like, that explosion was badass. Or like, these reasons that you
like,
go
I
to see
these
movies. I
see that guy's intellect. I see what's going on in his
head.
Yeah,
no, there's no motivations. There's no nothing. It's just, it's completely threadbare and just not worth seeing, to be honest with you. It wasn't fun. With that being said, there was one line that I really enjoyed. They're going through the building and like trying to get to these drug runners or something on the top floor of this building, and Travolta is just dispatching people left and right, which sounds cool, but it's actually just like a copy of a scene out of Wanted where he's like running in slow motion shooting guns out on both sides of his arms. So he takes out a bunch of dudes, and Reese goes up to him, and he's like, how many more are there? And I should mention that the thugs that Travolta has been dispatching have been all, like, Asian guys. So
of course.
Yeah, so he says, how many more are there? And Travolta looks at him, and, like, the one cool one-liner in the movie was, according to the last census, about a billion.
Nice.
And that was the only part where I was like, all right, that was kind of funny and like stupid and cheesy. Like that, those lines are what the entire movie should have been comprised of, but yeah. There was only that one. Aww. And it was just downhill from there.
That's a good line.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny, but yeah. So, overall, From Paris with Love, pretty worthless. I definitely would not recommend it, but... Okay, so one more thing that I wanted to bring up. I watched Master and Commander, Far Side of the World, for the first time about a week ago. And I don't know if you guys have seen this movie. Has anybody seen it?
I've seen it.
Yeah. I liked it a lot, by the way.
It's been a while.
Russell Crowe. I mean, yeah, it came out in like 2001 or something. And, like, I just never got around to seeing it. Or maybe, it was 2003, I'm sorry.
Paul
because
Bettany.
Yeah. Paul Bettany and Russell Crowe. And
Did well critically. And
does Bettany play Darwin?
Yes. No, but he's like going. A Darwinist type of guy.
Ends up playing Darwin.
Yeah, later on in that Darwin movie. Yeah. Yeah. That was a weird connection. I thought about that too when I was watching it. So the whole point to this is, watching this movie, I knew beforehand that Peter Weir was the guy who directed it. And I knew I had heard from a bunch of people that this was a great movie. I needed to check it out. So I'd heard the kind of a little behind-the-scenes thing about how they built the ship that the movie takes on to scale. So it actually, you know, was representative of the time period and stuff. And they completely... It's like what Cameron did with Titanic, where they actually built a big model of it, wow. of the set. And it wasn't filled in with CG backgrounds and, like, green screens and things like that. It was very... It was, like, the real deal. So... The question that kind of arose from this for me was, knowing these little things, these little behind-the-scenes anecdotes about the movie beforehand, or even afterwards, does that affect your thoughts about the movie, like your movie going experience. Like, do you guys appreciate movies more because, like, knowing these things, or are you able to separate the actual film, just take it as a film, or do these kinds of behind the scenes stories permeate into your overall experience with the movie?
No, I think I think it does sometimes. I mean, recently Avatar, if you talking about, you know, all this revolutionary technology that goes into it, and you're kind of, okay, this is next step, and you're thinking, okay, what are they going to do next? And then to finally see it, and you go, okay, you kind of give more credit because they're doing something that hasn't been, let's say, done to that level.
Yeah, no, I think Avatar is a great example, because especially with us kind of knowing beforehand about the technology side of it, and like,
yeah,
that about the Cameron's camera system that he created with like the live rendering and stuff, and
yeah,
like, so just, yeah, taking that into account, I definitely looked at Avatar with a little bit more respect knowing that stuff than,
yeah,
I would have otherwise. So
and
I think
then,
that's a good modern example.
Another example, Curious Case of Benjamin Button, where I feel like the technology was explained, there's a lot to it, but I feel like the technology wasn't quite there.
Yeah.
I feel like knowing that it was there allowed me to look past it,
mm-hmm,
like some of what I think is not the best CG.
Yeah.
To look past that and kind of just try to look more at the story, where I think some people may have just been distracted by the technology in it.
Right.
But it was kind of cool seeing some of the stuff, like the euthanizing of Cate Blanchett and Brad Pitt as well.
Euthanizing meaning making them,
yeah,
younger, not killing,
yeah,
them by injection or whatever.
Yeah, not euthanasia.
Okay.
Okay.
Just clearing that up.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. But I'm trying to think of like another film that, for me, like knowing that there was special effects and stuff behind it, was kind of a plus minus, like with Forrest Gump.
Mm-hmm.
You don't realize how much of it has visual effects in it, because it is so perfectly seamless, and it is so many little details that add up to a larger experience.
Except for the mouth morphing.
Mouth morphing?
In Forrest Gump?
Oh, yeah, that takes you out a bit. But knowing, like, there's certain scenes, like, if you watch the before and afters and some of, like, say, Vietnam and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or Lieutenant, like, you start to look for those,
mm-hmm,
things now when I rewatch them,
mm-hmm,
and I
take some of the shine off of it.
Yeah,
it
takes some of the shine off of it for me, for Forrest Gump.
So it goes
so
both ways.
It goes both
saying
ways.
Yeah.
One thing for Catch Me If You Can, that really kind of amped me up for this film, or just made me really appreciate it while watching it, was that there's a shooting schedule of 52 days as opposed to the 3, 4, 5, 6 months they spend filming other films.
Mm-hmm.
And how many locations was it?
147.
147 locations within 52 days. Like, that is a dizzying amount for any producer. It's a nightmare,
yeah,
to work that out. And I think that definitely made me... I mean, great film.
I think it's got to say something, well, not only to Spielberg, obviously, but to DiCaprio as an actor, to be able to find... Because you shoot these suckers out of sequence.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And to be able to find a what you feel as an actor is an arc, where you're shooting at probably two, three locations per day.
Yeah.
Or you're probably shooting maybe, you know, you might be shooting two, three different time periods in a single location.
Yeah.
How to wrap your brain around that as,
yeah,
an actor.
Or just to sum up, to play it as if you've aged convincingly.
Right.
Or you are that young, or, you know...
Yeah, I think people give actors a lot of crap for being like, oh, it's the easiest thing ever. You just have to read your lines or memorize your lines and stuff like that, you know? And this is... That's a good example. That's a perfect example of showing, like, how... Like, you really do have to put a lot of thought into it, especially with a short shooting schedule like we're talking about. Like, there's a lot that goes into making a convincing performance. And I didn't even... I mean, that's a testament to how good Catch Me If You Can is, because I didn't even know that. Like, I didn't even realize that the shooting schedule was that. And I thought that was a great movie. Like, it was,
yeah,
one of my favorite movies of the decade. Like,
yeah.
I really enjoy that.
Yeah, it's a tight film. It doesn't have, like, the usual expositional, like... all sorts of stuff. It was just a well-told story, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Another big thing as well, kind of that double-edged effects sword we were talking about, is when Return of the King came out. that they were talking about. What's that program they used to...
Massive.
Massive. Like, that was like, okay, cool, it's going to be these huge things, and then you kind of just look for it, like, okay. In your head, you're wondering which of these is real, which of these is just the massive program.
What was it for? Is massive some sort of generator that...
Yeah, it's a crowd generator. Actually, I learned... I thought that... and I had been told that the crowds in...
Invictus?
Invictus were real. Mm-hmm. And they did shoot some real crowd stuff, but a lot of what you saw was digital characters. It was massive.
That looks so real.
Huh. Yeah. And, I mean, it's amazing how they do it, because massive works differently than some of these other cut-and-paste things. Is what they do is they program an AI intelligence into each and every single character.
So it gets a different result.
Yeah,
they have
complex animation for every single character, and all of it goes very seamlessly one into the other. And then you have all these AI intelligence multiplied by however many thousand that you want.
Yeah.
It's pretty insane. But
yeah, I see what you're talking about though. If you know something like that beforehand, whenever you're like, you know, when you see a crowd scene, it's like a little red flag just goes off.
Yeah,
and
I think after you know, Return of the King, well, actually, even before the Two Towers came out, we had how many movies that came out with a ridiculous amount of CG crowds and scenes like that? Like, I wonder how many of those were massive. Probably not as many as we think, but...
Mm-hmm.
One of the big things, too, is... it's kind of weird. What were you guys' thoughts going into, I hate to bring this up on the podcast, Dark Knight, knowing Heath Ledger had kind of died? That make you I think that got people in the theater more than I think initially would have been.
Yeah,
had he.
I think that's undeniable. I don't know. I had been following that for a long time, his casting and stuff, and like reading interviews with him about how he was going to tackle the character and things like that. And so I was hyped up for it anyway, and then he died, and it was just like, wow, this is... I mean, it brought a whole nother level to that movie. That still, like, when you watch it, you watch it with a certain reverence, because knowing, like, this was such a great performance, and, you know, we lost him at such a young age.
To see the Joker, it just feels like there's something very definite about his performance, because there's no do-over. We could see Bale in another Batman film, and we could see him take on the Batman character, and for us to see how he characterizes Batman differently.
Yeah.
We can't see that. We can't see an evolution of the Joker character.
It's very finite.
At all.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Watching Team America World Police and knowing that there are puppets. Really?
Wait, those are puppets?
whoa. But don't you think it's interesting that... going back to Avatar, that they did not show very much behind-the-scenes stuff...
Until
it had been out for a while.
Yeah.
Just so that people...
They probably didn't want to corrupt people in that
I think
that
it was
way.
Like where they... In the same way, like with Curious Case of Men, I was looking for the effects. And having already seen the stuff, I'd already gone, oh yeah, that was the CG head and this.
Well, they had put stuff in the trailer.
Yeah.
For Curious Case of Men.
Well, it's like knowing the magic, you know, the illusion before you even see the trick. You can't even have that... 5 seconds of fun.
Yeah, the appreciation.
Well, guess what? We're not really sawing this lady in half.
Yeah.
Her body's underneath the box.
Yeah. You know it's not real, but, you know. But at the same time, yeah, there's certain things that'll push you into the theater that even make it even cooler than it is.
Sometimes. Yeah. If I remember correctly, they used to have those kinds of behind-the-scenes shows, like, coinciding with movies all the time.
Like HBO
like,
first
yeah,
look.
And
yeah,
and stuff like that. And I don't have HBO, so I don't remember, or I don't know now if they still do that as much.
I think they still do, but I think, I don't know who's watching these things.
Yeah, I don't want to watch it before I see the movie for these reasons that we've been talking about. I don't want to necessarily, like, especially for CG-based stuff, because it's just like, you know, what we've been saying, you look for nothing but that. It's like... when somebody tells you that there's a naked dude in the end of Teen Wolf, like, you're only going to be looking for that part the whole time. But I think something like Master and Commander, knowing that the ship was built to scale, and or, you know, like Titanic, knowing that Cameron, that iconic shot of DiCaprio and Winslet on the bow of the ship with that sunset, that was a real sunset. That like took, that wasn't
they waited like 3 weeks.
Yeah,
or
something. They had to, you know, shoot multiple times to try to get that exactly perfect. And Cameron has said recently that if the technology exists now, existed when he shot Titanic, he would have done Titanic a completely different way.
Yeah.
He would have done all, you know, the sunset CG. He would have
set
not
extensions.
Built the yeah set extensions exactly. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Where like I somehow, for some reason, have a much bigger appreciation of movies that take it to
yeah.
that level of like dedication and devotion to crafting the illusion instead of like being only half-assing it. But
I think well, this is really. I watched Transporter 3 recently.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I love the first one and the second one. Those
yeah.
are the same kind of movies like From
yeah.
Paris with Love should have been.
And
but.
Yeah. It seemed extremely lazy of me. For me, it seemed extremely lazy that the filmmaker went to the effort of shooting the interior dialogue scenes in a green screen. You can tell it's a green screen. I mean, there's no technical reason why you can't, but the only reason is because it looked overly... Like, there was too much reflection of the outside on the glass, where you would...
Are you talking about in a vehicle?
Inside the vehicle.
Yeah.
Where, in reality, you would be trying not to shoot the reflection on the glass.
Yeah.
If you were, you know... So, I mean, there's all these technical things that gave me clues that it was green, and it felt, like, really lazy.
Yeah.
And just watching some
yeah,
of the,
how
the,
difficult
just
is it
watching,
to have...
Yeah, just watching some of the... I mean, we can even talk about these Fast and the Furious films. There's one entire sequence... At the end, it takes place in an underground tunnel,
yeah.
and there is no...
Not a frame of it.
Not
is
a frame of it's real. And you know what? None of it feels dangerous.
Yeah.
Not at all. There's
yeah.
no danger, or, just, you know, there's no, like, what's going to happen here
yeah.
kind of feeling.
I think that's what's so cool about the first one slash films like The Italian Job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's also something else. I mean, watching, say... I mean... A loose, just let's say something like 300 versus like Ong Bak 2 or something
yeah.
like that, where the action is stylized and stuff like that, but it has a completely different feel
yeah.
of danger to the actors and for the audience invested in what's going on.
Yeah,
I, you know, if you watch 300, you're not for a second worried about the safety of
yeah.
these guys for a second.
Yeah,
and they die, and you go, oh, that sucks, but.
We
yeah.
may be getting into a different argument with just
yeah.
the quality of CG
yeah.
as opposed to... Yeah.
Or just the overall quality of movies.
Yeah,
just the quality of
storytelling.
Yeah.
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 That's a good point, yeah. I don't know, I wanted to bring that up.
Because I don't think CG
that...
has to do anything. I mean,
yeah.
I think King Kong. Perfect effects on King Kong.
Yeah.
I'm ambivalent to the story.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Right, so...
Yeah, it goes. There's a bunch of different ways that you can look
but
at
it. But does that make you appreciate it more, though, knowing that, you know, the kind of stuff Peter Jackson did prepare for King Kong? Does that make you like it more? Or,
it makes me like it more. It makes me go, there was no better way to make this film.
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, another example is Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
Going through the graphic novel.
That's a good example.
Seen the best special features and knowing what the story is and just going, there really could have never been another way to do this better.
Yeah.
And it didn't succeed because just people just are not going to accept the story.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best service to
yeah.
the story that there could be.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think that's it for today. What do we got coming out next week? Do you know what kind of... we have Valentine's Day, I think, comes
and
out. I don't
have... Pretty sure it's pronounced Valentine's Day.
and then...
Wolfman.
What else?
Wolfman.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I was always on the fence on this. I didn't even really want to even see this. Now...
You're talking about Valentine's Day, of course, right?
I'm talking about Wolfman. I'm talking about Wolfman. Valentine's Day,
Yeah, I don't think anybody really.
Yeah. But
yeah,
I don't know. For me, I didn't feel like I was sold on the makeup and the effects and some of the stuff that had been done with it.
Mm-hmm.
Wolfman, for me, like of all the horror characters, wasn't exactly my favorite.
Right.
But just seeing the way that they've done it, and I'm on board now.
Yeah,
I'm
the movie
watch it.
Has been like notoriously. It's had a bunch of struggles as far as like production. They switched directors on it. Mark Romanek was initially supposed to direct it, and now what's his name, Joe Johnston, the guy who's doing Captain America, the first Avenger, ended up taking over directorial duties on it, and he's directing it, and yeah, I mean, it looks interesting. I definitely want to see it.
Okay. Also, Percy Jackson, The Lightning Thief.
Oh, wow.
I didn't realize
that's
that was coming
out. I'm excited. I actually went through...
I thought this was like coming out like March.
Well, you
like...
know why we don't realize it? Is because in all the marketing, it's like Memorial Day. And it's like, who the hell knows when Memorial Day
yeah.
is? Like,
isn't
tell
that
us,
in October?
Tell us when it is. I
yeah.
don't know when that
wow.
is.
I can't believe that's coming out. When I think Memorial Day, I'm thinking like May.
Yeah,
just because
the
yeah.
M,
the M.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Yeah, but it's coming
as
out
as dumb as that makes us sound. That's
yeah,
true.
It's coming out on the 12th, and I went through.
Like when they say July 4th, I'm like, what does that mean?
For me, I was I was interested just to know what the story was about, and I went through all the books.
Oh, you read all the books?
Yeah.
But are they good?
They're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are
good.
You excited for the
I'm
movie?
I'm excited. I mean, it's targeted towards teens and young adults,
yeah.
So some of the books. When you go when you read through each book, they almost like retell certain parts of it,
mm-hmm.
just so like if you were assigned to read this book,
yeah, you
like,
can catch
you,
up with
you
a
can
little
catch
bit
up
of
with
that.
It. And I'm interested to
previously
see
previously on.
I'm interested to see how this movie goes, because if not, there's going to be like what 4 or 5 films they're going to do out of this book.
Yeah,
but it's also interesting. Like what's
Logan Lerman?
Logan Lerman is
in talks for Spider-Man. Yeah,
I don't know. Let's see.
I think I read something on MTV or something that said like those claims had been a little bit exaggerated. Like he had spoken with anybody, but it wasn't like full on negotiations. But I mean, the kid's
yeah.
the right age for a high school Spider-Man.
The right
for,
look too.
Yeah,
I think he looks the part.
And I've seen him in some other stuff. I can't remember what it is off the top.
310 to Yuma.
Yes. 310
awesome
to Yuma. He was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know. If he ends up playing Spider-Man, like, I'm not going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
He's as good a candidate as any.
Now, we've
I think.
Got Chris Columbus directing, but
mm-hmm.
he also, he's produced all the Harry Potters.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's
he knows his way around this kind of genre.
Yeah,
stuff.
He knows
yeah.
his way around.
He discovered America. No, he didn't, but
super old.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to bring up real quick. The marketing for Percy Jackson, The Lightning Thief, actually said President's Day, not Memorial Day.
Is in May.
I'm an
March.
Idiot. But to
May.
Be fair,
May.
I don't
May.
Know when President's Day is either. I didn't have any...
Yeah. Now we know.
Yeah.
America! President's Day! Third Monday in February.
Good song. Cool. All right. Well, yeah, maybe we'll get a chance to check out Wolfman or something this weekend and maybe talk about it next
Chris
week.
Jackson, yeah.
Should
yeah.
we talk about Lost?
Oh, God. We need to save.
We need to
Lost is such a massive thing. Yeah, we
yeah.
need to
premieres.
Do it.
Joey probably is going to want to talk
There's
about
There's
going to
be
too.
A
yeah.
whole thing on Lost. We're going to be talking about it for
okay.
the next...
I'm going to be talking about it for
weeks.
The next 30 years of my life
yeah.
because it's amazing. But yeah, well, yeah, we should definitely try to do that. Try to get together like a maybe like a separate podcast,
a separate
even
lost
like a Lost theme.
Podcast.
Yeah,
lost
well, not an ongoing one. I just mean an episode devoted
yeah.
to it.
Okay,
but yeah, cool. So check us out on Twitter at Geek Tyrant, Facebook.com/GeekTyrant. I'm assuming become a fan of us on Facebook.
Yeah, just
got some cool
us.
Stuff going. So check out the site. You know, we'll keep you up to date with what's going on, and
Ooh,
we'll see you guys.
Wolfman contest. By the
oh
way.
yeah, we got a Wolfman contest. Check out the site. You'll see a prize pack and some cool stuff that we're giving away through that. So
swag.
Yeah. All right. So we will see you guys next week. Have a good week.